Blog Talk Radio.
With the problem. At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check. Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob. Something that disturbs me. I did a show like this a while back, but see, I'm going to have to pound this message a little bit more. Get it out there, because a lot of people just don't kind of get it, I guess, man. You know, I served in the U.S. military, and can someone tell me why non-black veterans, why didn't they have an alternative to prevent me from joining the military, and all they want to do is just criticize? And we go ahead and kind of, when we express to any crowd or anybody, express what you're going through with Department of Veterans Affairs. It's real sad. It's a little cowardly when I hear people go ahead and make these comments. You didn't have nothing for me to stop me from joining. You know, the biggest employers in the black community is McDonald's, drug dealers, and the military. Yeah, the biggest employers in the neighborhood. So, you know, these guys are constantly talking about, hey, I don't think you deserve any of the stuff that the government's trying to give you. And they're repeating some nonsense they heard from somebody else. Girl, they see you there. Hmm. That brother stepped away. But yeah. You there?
Brother, I see you there.
What's up, man? I think you have having some problems, man. Let me check on you. Have you ever encountered that, man? Anybody talking about you because you were joined, just because you joined the military? Because I remember stuff, hearing stuff like, you know, some guys who came back from Vietnam and called them baby killer and stuff.
I guess I've been fortunate that no one has ever approached me with any type of recriminations about my service in the military. I was a Vietnam era veteran, I didn't go to Vietnam, but I was in the military from 1971 to 75, which was labeled the Vietnam era. And no, I've never received. I'm just not the type of person that someone is going to walk up to and describe. You know.
And I'm looking at it, you know, in several ways, in different eras, different times.
We
fast forward the clock, and you look at what a lot of these guys get home. It's like, you went over, you did this, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, okay, well, get on out my way now. You know, we don't want to go ahead and have nothing to do to you. So they still go ahead and lump us all together. You know, hey, we didn't pay attention to them, so why should we pay attention to you? You know what I'm saying? Didn't pay attention to them other veterans. Why should we pay attention to you? So just go on over there and shut up, be quiet. We'll get to you later. Oh. If you're waiting for us.
You know, I've heard complaints about that. You know, but then again, okay, like I said, I was in the military from, like I said, 1971, 1975. So I'm an elderly gentleman now. And my home port was Mayport, Florida, the northern part of Florida. Mm-hmm. And I had always heard racism in the South and the racism in that era, in that age, in Florida in particular, you know, as it seems to be still going on if you take into consideration the Trayvon Martin situation and other situations that have occurred in Florida. With my being reared in Chicago and everything that involved, in all honesty, I went down there looking for racists. I mean, it was my day at the time.
You were going down there being a troublemaker?
Oh, no. I considered myself going down there being a stalwart warrior. That's what I call it.
That sounds like you were being a bad Negro.
No, that's not what they call me.
But maybe about to stir up the other Negroes.
No, I wasn't trying to. It wasn't necessary for me to get anybody to join my bandwagon. I just had those teen years that I just didn't tolerate that. See, that was the thing with my generation. Now, my parents' generation, was the generation that when they were disparaged by white people, they would look them in the eye and talk under their breath, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah. So,
of course, members of my mother's generation took that a little bit further because, hey, they didn't play that. They were very outspoken about, how they were treated by white people. And it wasn't easy. When it came my turn, I took it to an entirely different level, which is probably part of my problem now. I actually enjoyed the segregation that we experienced during that era when white people didn't want us anywhere near them. I mean, I was raised, and as the old saying went back then, in the South it was, you can get as close as you want, just don't get too smart. And in the North, it was, you can get as smart as you want, just don't get too close. Especially in the Chicagoland area, which to a great extent is thoroughly segregated now. I mean, yes, black people are allowed to move into certain areas that in my day, when I was a youngster, they were completely white. That has changed. As a matter of fact, I live in one of the areas that, during the summer, I used to cross the boundary knowing that white people would chase us out of that area. And I live in that area now, and it amazes me that I'm here. It does. It amazes me.
Yeah, I can imagine.
a hot summer night, me and the fellas would get together, and we would cross that border just so the white people could chase us up out of there. And they chased us with guns and knives and bricks and bats and the whole shot, because it was what would be considered, actually, it was one of the more affluent Italian neighborhoods in the Chicago. So, when they shot you, they wasn't shooting you with no Saturday night specials. They were shooting you with Army 45s and wood grain shotguns and things like that, if they shot you. Well, they were shooting at you with that, but. So, I was very educational, in that era. In my first 3 years in high school, we had riots. The community that I lived in was completely surrounded by white communities, and yet and still, because we were segregated at that point in time, to the point that, when I grew up, we had lawyers, a judge, doctors living in my neighborhood. Black lawyers, black judges, black doctors living in the neighborhood. So, there were affluent people, affluent African-American people living in the neighborhood. There were teachers, black teachers living in the neighborhood. And it wasn't like the city of Chicago is now. I mean, even black people don't want to live in the city of Chicago, in black neighborhoods.
Right.
They don't want to live on the South Side unless you're talking about Hyde Park or the Kenwood area. They don't want to live on the 9. They don't want to live on the 6 Tray. No.
Right.
No, that's not about. So, everything has changed, but like I think we discussed yesterday, although everything has changed, it still remains the same. So, like, when I was in the military in the South, I went down. I must have been insane, because I was hoping that one dark night when I was walking through the swamp lands of Florida, that I would run into a Klan rally.
He's going to a weenie roast.
Chicago gangster. Yeah, I was like, I think about that now. I said, okay, you would have shot a couple of them, and then what? But I didn't think about it. Teenager. You know, my parents had to sign for me to go in. I was 17 years old. So when I got out, I was 21. I did 4 years. So I was a teenager when I was, you know, when I was doing all of these things. And I did the dumb things that teenagers did. But my whole demeanor forbidded being approached like normal black men would be approached from my understanding. Because, you know, I mean, the only thing I knew about racism in the South was what I saw on TV. I never experienced it, you know, myself personally. You know? But I do remember that my father's side of the family had a family reunion in Mississippi. My mother refused to let me go because of the Emmett Till thing that happened. She said, nah, if you call my son a nigga, it's going to be a problem. No. And I would have wound up attached to a cotton gin and the rest of this.
Oh man. Hey, do you think it made you a stronger person where you could go be a leader or could be a bigger influence in the community? You know, you could have followers, so to speak.
Just being in the military? Oh, yeah. They taught me leadership skills. Because when I was in the military, I was on an aircraft carrier. And I don't know if you're familiar with the situation on the Kitty Hawk, where they actually prosecuted African-American sailors for sedition. Because they basically, I mean, they were stopping the, it was a protest movement. Because of the unfair conditions for black sailors on the ship. And they basically stopped operations, you know, on the Kitty Hawk, which was an aircraft carrier. What they did is they had to sit out on the flight deck, and there was, you know, there were black-white skirmishes and so forth and so on. And they charged them with sedition because they actually stopped the operations of a wartime vessel. And this
no,
was
well,
like
I didn't know that. I need to look that up.
Yeah, check it out. But the thing they didn't talk about was that they also had that situation happen on my ship, the Franklin D. Roosevelt. But we were, if I'm not mistaken, at that point in time, the Kitty Hawk was in the Pacific. And therefore, it was more than likely on the line at Vietnam, which meant that it was in a wartime setting. We, on the other hand, were in the Atlantic, and we were actually... Actually, we were in the Mediterranean, and there weren't any wartime conditions at that point in time. And so the brass of the ship came out and talked to us and told us that, you know, what the possibility was, you know, the possibility of court-martial for sedition. And we folded it up. But we did have those protests, and they listened to our complaints, you know. We had a forum where they listened to our complaints. They didn't do anything about it, but they did listen. And there were a couple of black-white skirmishes there. And, you know, it didn't get out of hand, but it got lively. And I would suggest that I was right smack dab in the middle of that. So, well,
being a bad nigger, being a troublemaker, bad nigger.
Hey, unfortunately, I prefer the term BMF, and I'm sure you understand what that means.
Hey, so some of these cats that go here and they have some negative stuff to say about us. What do you think they contribute to the neighborhood versus? Wait, hold on. Let me say this. Okay, well, go ahead. Say what you got to say. Let me see.
Hey, who are these cats?
You know, there's like some these so-called conscious community dudes and just some abnormal type individuals. I come across them in various venues.
Okay, what are they saying?
Pretty much that you what the VA is doing to you, what the VA is doing to you, so what? You signed up, you volunteered. Just go ahead and bend over and take it.
Huh?
Yeah. You know, if you signed up, you know, that's, you know, just take what they're doing, you know. They, this one guy had no sympathy for her. He had no heart for the veterans that died over there. I think that was in New Mexico with that VA hospital.
Phoenix, Arizona.
That was Phoenix. Okay, but see here in Chicago, there's a lot of black veterans.
Previous situations, to my understanding, were occurring in the Phoenix VA facility.
Okay, because I hadn't really looked into a lot of it. But
of course, it's systemic, but the Phoenix situation is what brought it to light.
The what? Your phone fading.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Let me plug up. I said, of course, it's systemic, but the Phoenix situation is what brought it to light.
Yeah, because it's every last one of them. So, but this the thing. When I go into the VA hospital, I see this is what really been bugging me lately. Because I'm there, I'm working over there, man.
Right.
So I see a lot of blacks not doing a lot of high level jobs. I see a lot of whites. I see a lot of Asians. And the other thing I see where there's a lot of blacks is coming in, filling up the beds, filling up the drug treatment programs, filling up the homeless vet programs, filling up the every little thing. I see it. Man, it's like 70-80% black in almost all these areas, man.
Mm.
All this treatment shit. You don't see too many black doctors. That bugs the shit out of me. But at the same time, we've had a whole lot of blacks to go ahead and join the military and served in all these conflicts, come back home and help build up their neighborhoods. Mecca Evers served in the Army, didn't he?
Well, let me ask you. I don't know the money. I don't know the money difference as far as a doctor working in the VA and a doctor working in, you know, some of the other hospitals in the Chicagoland area, Northwestern, Loyola, the Rush Presbyterian situation. You will see. I don't know the difference, as far as the money is concerned, but I would suggest that you would be paid more at these other hospitals than you would by a government institution like a specialist hospital. I don't know that to be true, but that would be the belief that I would operate on.
But, I'm going to get to that in a minute. Right now, I want you to focus in on this. We are filling up this, more blacks filling up these beds. Okay?
More blacks are filling up what?
There are more black patients into the hospitals.
Yeah. Well,
what makes
us
so... Go ahead.
I would suggest that was due to the fact that the lack of jobs, especially in black neighborhoods, has led to a lot of young brothers joining the military just so they, you know, wouldn't be out on the street doing nothing.
Right. See, and I know you can add more to it, but right now I want to go ahead and say this. When these cats go ahead and tell us, hey, look, you shouldn't have joined the military, again, I say, what was the alternative? I don't see no retirement plan if you're going to go ahead and be out here. You know, ain't no retirement plan for hustlers, is it? That you make one.
Yeah, exactly. As a hustler, it behooves you to make plans for the end of your hustling days. I mean, that's just, you know, common sense.
Yeah, so some of these guys are always talking black power. They some goddamn hustlers themselves.
Oh, don't stop that, man. Don't stop. You know, you going to start jumping on Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton right now? Is that the deal?
I should.
So no. I mean, you know, because, see, Chef, understand, you know, that's one of the symptoms. That is not the problem.
Okay. I want you to define what I mean. the symptom? What is that symptom? Then go ahead and discuss the problem. Which one you want to do first?
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Would you consider it utopia or ideal for black people to receive their inalienable rights in the United States of America? Is that like an utopian idea? Is that like paradise? Is that like heaven? Or is that something like, you know, that they deserve, that should be like automatic? I mean, because I don't think there are a lot of black people that believe that
it could be automatic. Yeah.
Okay, so it should be automatic, but they take the lives of black people. They make money off of taking the liberties of black people, and they just totally piss on the concept of black people pursuing their happiness. So, they are basically denying people of color. I'm not going to diss the Native American brothers, and I'm not going to diss the Hispanics, whether they get over here legally or not. You know, they are just pissing on their inalienable rights. So, see, this is, I think we were talking, speaking about this earlier. You know, I mean, you have all of these outstanding, noble concepts that are supposed to be how this country is run. The suggestion is, which always amazes me, The suggestion has always been that this country is what it is because it's the land of the free and the home of the brave. It is the home of the brave, but as you may well know, the brave has been evicted. And I'm not talking about, gumption or guts or anything like that. When I say brave, I'm talking about the Native American. He's been evicted from his own land. He's been given a project, as in project housing. And that's where he's at. Of course, and this is another thing, at least the Native Americans have federal protection for their housing development. Now, think about it. You know about places like the Cabrini Green, Ron Taylor, all of those housing developments, which once started out as a great idea. Low income for black people who didn't have the jobs that white people had. Okay? Now imagine if they had had the foresight to protect those institutions through the federal government, where it was a federal offense to commit a crime on those projects, which is basically what they do for Indian reservations. Imagine if they had done that in the black neighborhood. I mean, these black people would have been able to save money, build themselves up, move on to the raisin in the sun thing, if you will, if you remember that, get a chance to move out of that neighborhood to a better neighborhood, better schools, better, And it's if you think about what's happening to black people, especially in this city, I can't speak to other cities, but I've been to a couple, and there doesn't seem to be that much different, except of course, at least to my knowledge, I spent a lot of time in Philadelphia, and because Philadelphia is basically a port city, they get a lot of fruits and vegetables in there, and they have a lot of fresh fruit markets there because they have this stuff coming in on ships. Now, I don't understand why that's not happening in Chicago, and I don't understand why in black neighborhoods there's such a thing as a food desert. That seems to be, okay.
That was a real rough one. That's the one I've been trying to address myself, because when I saw that graphic, man, it just blew me away. And all every one of the neighborhoods I lived in.
Yeah.
And then, let's see, Sister Nagon, you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you this evening, both of you?
All right. How you doing?
I'm good. And I would like to say that, first of all, I'm sorry that you are experiencing the conditions that you are. I can hear the disgust in your voice. I've heard you spoke, I've heard you speak before, you know, about what needs to be done as far as black people are concerned, as far as, you know, building our own, and I agree with you. And I hope I can ask, if you'll give me just a few minutes, to share an experience I had. Now, I've never been in the military. My father was in World War II. He drove a supply truck at a time when black families were not allowed to live in the barracks or to have their families travel to be with their, you know, their husbands, whatever. And I heard the other gentleman comment about what was going on the Kitty Hawk, and I think he said something about the Phoenix. My sister was in the Navy. My nephew was in the Navy. My sister's husband is a Marine. So I do have a lot of family members that have served in the military. So I'm speaking from a historical point of view, not from an experience of being in the military. The experience I had when my grandson and I were once out shopping, and a young white boy, he was in his teens, and my grandson was probably 16 at the time. And this young white boy looked at my grandson, and he said, you'll probably go to the Army. And immediately I was offended. I said, no, he's not going to no Army. You go. So I recount that experience just to share that some white people expect black people to go and die for them, and then they don't appreciate it. You see what I'm saying? So your topic tonight is, what alternative was there for you? And I want to express the point that there will never be an alternative until, in my view, we create one for ourselves. The gentleman, your caller, mentioned inalienable rights. Well, inalienable rights don't come from governments, and they come from our maker, our creator. So we can't expect the federal government to protect us. You say, you know, what if they had treated the people in Cabrini Green the same way they treated the Indians. In other words, you know, you have a Indian Bureau or Bureau of Indian Affairs who doesn't keep up their treaties, and they got families living in trailers on Indian reservations, three or four families living in a trailer with no doors and windows. So, you know, it sounds good, but when you think and you look at what's actually happening, you know, the Indian or the so-called Indians are now being aggressed because their government is now encroaching on their lands for minerals and so forth. So I think that, first of all, we have to take in consideration when we talk about this country that it's not a country, it's a corporation. And it's unfortunate. I heard on Mr. Talk Show, I won't call any names, but I heard someone say that there hadn't been a draft since the 70s, and that's not true. And the gentleman caller also referenced it. There hasn't been a lawful or legal draft, but there's been an economic conscription, you know. Like you said, Chef Rob, I mean, a lot of young men go in the military because they don't see any other hope. They don't want to sell dope, and they don't want to do those things. So, you know, they want to be men like everybody else. They want to go experience other experiences in the world, and you know, but the harsh reality is, as I mentioned, my father in World War II and the conditions that he experienced. We know the Vietnam War. My brother was in the demilitarized zone in Korea. And if we look at history, this is just a repeat. It's a cycle. It's the same conditions every generation. And as long as we keep forgetting about the reality that this, you're not fighting for your country, because this isn't a country, it's a corporation. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Fighting to protect businesses and the business interests. That's what you're fighting for.
Yeah, like Smedley Butler in his book, War is a Racket. And that's the harsh reality that we have to face. Or, you know, like another of someone I have the most respect for, he and I had a long conversation about this. He has a 10-year-old son, and he believes that he should encourage his son to go get education from the military. Well, if you keep feeding the beast, then you were talking about the beds being filled up with more black people. Well, yeah. That's exactly. As long as we keep feeding the beast, we're going to keep getting ate up by the beast. You know. And we, you know, so it's, I don't know what else to say. I hope what I said made some kind of sense, because I feel in my heart that I can see the problem, and I'm sure you can too. I don't have the answer or a silver bullet, but I think we have to remind ourselves that you're not going to get inalienable rights from any federal government, especially one that doesn't exist. Now, I read on my show the speech by James Traficant. It's online for anybody to read. He was speaking to the Congress in 1993, and that details the situation we're facing. The United States was dissolved in 1933. It was found to be bankrupt and dissolved under FDR when they filed bankruptcy in 1933, and exists today in name only. Mm. All the officers and agents of what used to be the federal government are operating in a de facto status and are independent contractors. Now, these are facts. This is not my opinion. It wasn't his opinion. He gives you the public laws where you can go and read yourself what he's saying. These people are functioning as independent contractors. The police are independent contractors.
Hey.
A high court ruling in North Carolina, then there was two judges that upheld that, and they even had a press conference and on the news and told the police in North Carolina to get all their property out of their name, that the state would no longer provide them with their bonds, they would have to get their own and be prepared to be sued by the people of North Carolina. Now, that ruling doesn't only affect North Carolina, it affects the other states too. So these are revenue collectors. They're independent contractors. We saw what happened when New Orleans, what was the name of the hurricane that hit?
Katrina.
Katrina. We saw how they used Blackwater and, you know, what do you call hired private?
Mercenaries.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And we see how they've militarized the police. They're, they're ordering and delivering tanks all over the country and stocking up on hollow point bullets. And, I mean, they're cavity searching women on the streets. They're killing people over traffic stops, tasing people to death, beating old people, throwing them out of wheelchairs. I mean, you know, we're in some real serious times. And, again, I am so sorry that you have experienced and are experiencing the situation that you are as far as being veterans and not getting what was promised to you. But when we look at the hard, cold facts, you know, this is not new.
This is the thing. Let me get this in real quick. We have enough brothers who are out here willing to go ahead and do something. But we also have a lot of brothers who go ahead and been a part of something to go ahead and give you that extra boost we need to go ahead and do for ourselves, be leaders. Like AC said, he had leadership training while in the military. That you can go ahead and apply that to those who want to listen. We got a big disconnect with a lot of people because a lot of people don't want to listen. They don't want to go ahead and they don't want to recognize that there's a problem. Bigger issue. But we got people that's out here that's willing to go ahead and try to do something.
Well, see, the difference in the military is, you know, the creed always was in the military, you don't have to respect the man, but you have to respect the uniform, you have to respect the title. See, so, you know.
Okay,
it
so
wasn't
who respected us? How do you get other black folks to respect you?
Calm down, Chef Rob. What I'm saying is, in the military, they had to listen to me because I had what they call rank. So, you know, that was my leadership position. I just used mine well, and I always worked for the benefit of the job to make the job as easy and as to have that job done as expeditiously as possible for the benefit of the people who were doing the work. You know, so therefore they followed me because they knew that after the job was finished, that our bosses were going to be happy, that the job would be done as quickly as possible. You know, and that. If you put as many people as we had available in a military setting on any job, if you do it right, if you dole out the work properly, that the job could be done like that, and then basically your time is your own.
But, sir, may I ask a question?
Sure.
How does that how does that compare with the discussion of inalienable rights, being free to develop and build your own lifestyle so that your sons and the next generation won't get fooled the same way every generation gets fooled because we don't remember the history? This is not new. The same thing happened to my father in World War II. Then it was Vietnam. Then it was all the other. It's the same cycle repeated over and over again. So are we going to feed our sons to the same beast? Or are we going to keep talking? You're talking about an institution and how it's organized, but it's organized to benefit the corporation. It doesn't benefit you. That's what the discussion tonight is about. And it's not going to benefit your sons either.
Sister, in response to your question, the fact is that, you know, the solution to resolving the issue for black people in this country would be bloody, plain and simple, from my perspective. You know, the only way you're going to resolve the situation is to shed blood. I'm really, you know, there was a time when I was willing to, you know, give my blood for the cause. I respected the leaders at that point in time. I respected the idea. And I've always believed that, you know, these people ain't going to give you anything. You have to take it. But this, the generation that I'm seeing now, the younger generation that I'm seeing now, they actually think that in some instances they've assimilated to this situation, that they are truly being accepted, and that the only reason that they aren't succeeding is because they are not working hard enough, or, you know, they're not even to the degree that I was. They're not even recognizing racism as an issue in this country. So,
well,
you know,
I'm sorry, I don't want to talk over you if you're not completely.
I'm finished. Go ahead.
Well, okay, I hear what you're saying. However, again, and I don't mean any disrespect at all, but the facts of the matter is, as I see it, is that, you know, and I'm not advocating bloodshed. It may be that you're absolutely correct that they may come to that, but I'm not advocating. I just want to make that clear. Okay. However, you're still using an example, and I've kind of lost my train of thought here. You're talking about the generation, how they've assimilated, and that's a fact. Okay, we've been conditioned. We have been assimilated. That's what integration was all about. That's, you know, we have a historical examples of when we were better off when we had our own communities, because our sons and daughters could look up to Mr. Johnson, who was the dentist, and Mr. So-and-so, who was a doctor, and they had something to look forward to and how they wanted to emulate when they grew up. Now they emulate Kanye West or somebody else on TV or whatever. Okay, you know.
Sister.
Elderly folks.
Sister?
Yes, sir.
Were you listening to the discussion when I just made the same statement?
No, I'm not trying to oppose what you're saying. Remember, I said I lost my thoughts.
I wasn't being confrontational or adversarial when I asked that question. I was just trying to understand how long you've been listening to the conversation. That is all.
From the very beginning of the show.
Yeah.
Trying to feedback what I understood you to be saying, because I lost my train of thought, and I was trying to get back on, you know, the point of what you had just raised.
I thought as a youth that I was in a better situation because there was so much segregation where I lived.
Well, but see, that's what you thought, and I can understand that. But what we're in the present moment, and that's what happens. That's why, in my view, it keeps cycling back, because, you know, we want to talk about what you thought then, but we know things more now than we did before. It was innocent. The people did the best they could. They were in circumstances that they didn't have very many choices, so they went to the military to do the best they could, to have a better life, to take care of their family and all that. But the hard, cold reality is black people have been used, and they are now being abused once again. So now we can talk about that, or we can talk about what we're going to do.
Okay.
See?
Well, you know, I've been involved in a lot of discussions about what to be done, and I have my views on that. Let me just say that the generation before I went into the military actually believed and felt deeply that they had an obligation as United States of America citizens to perform military duty, you know, for their country. It wasn't just
a
matter of fighting.
Sir. I understand that they thought that, but now we know this is not a country, it's a corporation. So now we have other information that we can use to try to discuss where we are and where we need to go, if we can go anywhere. And the fact of assimilation, I mean, listen, they have got our teenagers so locked up with electronics and the new technology that I don't even know if they can be reached. But, you know, I don't want to be defeatist in my thinking either, but I think you can't solve the problem if we're not willing to look head on and, you know, at the fact that you're not serving a country. It's a corporation. So all the patriotic things that are taught to people that go in the military, all the recruiters that go to high schools and tell the children, young people, you know, what they be all you can be in the military, so forth and so on, it's not true. It's a bunch of bull.
They lied to me, and they're lying to them. Yeah.
Exactly.
Like I said,
that's what we have to deal with.
When I joined the military, I had my own agenda. I mean, my agenda at that point in time was the GI Bill, getting out of the military after I served my term and using the GI Bill to further myself. And that was, you know, that was a sacrifice on my part because I gave them more than they ever gave me. My belief was that I was told that I would never have to be in a war zone. That turned out to be a lie because I was off the coast of Israel when the Israelis and the Egyptians were going at it, and we were allies with the Israelis, and the Russians were allies with the Egyptians, and you know we were always at a heightened sense of emergency. If you understand what I'm saying, I mean it was always a concern that there would be a conflict, and I thought I didn't want to go to Vietnam.
Sir, so. That's how deception works.
Right.
And
right.
So we're going to face that, or our next generation will be eaten alive. And you know what? Now they're not even going to have that opportunity because now they got robots they're going to use. They got drones. They have all kinds of electronic warfare and bio warfare and scalar wars and EMP weapons and so forth. They don't need your bodies anymore. So now what are we going to do?
Sister, they didn't need your bodies back then. And understand this. After 2016, it's back to the old program. I mean, he may not have been effective, but he stunted the program, the present president. He stunted the program that had been going on before he got there. I mean, these people sent those young boys over to Iraq and Afghanistan, and to my memory, when they first sent them over there, I mean, I remember articles in the newspaper where families were sending their military children armor because the government wasn't providing. I remember
you
that.
Don't have a government. And
well,
when,
no,
you
well,
don't, when you face that, well, then maybe we can move forward. It was deception, and it still is. You don't have a government. It's a corporation. And all nation states are corporations. All states are corporations. All townships are corporations. All municipals are corporations. All cities are corporations.
So, in other words, anything you do at this point in time, you should be paid.
Well, we can talk about should be, and that goes in. That would be off the topic of what Chef Rob has for you all to talk about tonight. I could get into that, but I don't want to go off topic. So I think I've said enough, and I understand your pain. I hear it in both of what you're saying, and, you know, but the fact of the matter is. Now, the next generation is at risk. You know, because they're not going to have the same opportunity, even under deceptive conditions, to go. They'll be used, but it'll be a whole. They don't need the bodies that they needed the past. You know, what I don't know what to call them. In the theater, war theater, or whatever. They're not going to need them. You know, I forget who said it. I think it was Einstein that said, I don't know what weapons they'll use to fight World War III, But World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones. That's where we are.
Oh, so then we have a chance.
No, we don't, because that means World War III will probably be nuclear, and it's already in progress right now.
Right.
And they already have many nukes out in the field. They just reclassified the definition of what a nuclear device is. That's all. So I'm gonna stop there, and I hope I haven't disrupted what your flow.
Not at all, sister. Not at all. I love to hear the sister talk about what's going on here because, you know, after all, you are the first teachers.
Well, you know, I reflect on history a lot, and, you know, this is not a new scenario. If you go back to ancient Kemet, and you remember when Alexander conquered Kemet and some of the brothers and sisters went down into Sudan because they didn't want to integrate. They didn't want to, you know, Alexander didn't, their soldiers didn't bring their women, so they took concubines from the royal Kemetic families and so forth, and now we got Arabs run all over North Africa.
Right.
So the ones that didn't want to mix and didn't want to, what they call, melt down or whatever, the salad bowl or whatever they try to talk about over here, went down into Sudan. Yeah,
no,
thank you. But now look what's happening in the Sudan today. So, you see, I don't have the answer. I don't think there's a silver bullet. I don't even try to pretend like I know the answer. But I do understand the problem very well. Historically.
Well, I would suggest that the answer may not be a silver bullet, but the answer is definitely going to be bullets.
I think you're probably right, and I've been telling my family for the last 10 years there's going to be a civil war in this country, and it's probably going to start out west where they're trying to take the land, you know, under Agenda 21. Are you familiar with Agenda 21 and their objectives, the United Nations Declaration Agenda 21?
Well, no, actually, I mean, enlighten the brother.
Well, the tenets are
I don't know it by that title. But enlighten the brother.
Well, it's a treaty, and it's global, and the objectives are to take all private property rights away from the people. They want to control all food, all transportation, all water, all everything. Basically, to make a long story short, their intention is to take us back to feudal times where the elite own the land and control the land, and we're squatters. That's where they're trying to take us. They have maps already up. If you can Google Google Images, put in the Wildlands Project or put in Agenda 21, and there's some good videos on YouTube. One, the best one I can recommend is Rosa Corey. It's called Behind the Green Mask. And then you put that information together with the things that you're grappling with about the military and how they're treating the veterans right now, and then you will understand that one of the tenets of United Nations Declaration Agenda 21 is depopulation. They already have maps drawn where at some point in time they want to restrict the human activity on the North American continent, and then they have the next phase where they won't allow any human activity on the North American continent. So we got to stop focusing on racism and start focusing on the human race surviving, because we're under attack from every facet of our existence, our food, our water, our air. They're putting up all of these cell phone towers. They're using electronics to cause disease. They know they're breaking down our DNA. There's a woman named Deborah Traveres, and she has a video called NASA War Documents. I suggest you get into that, because once you understand this information, what you're talking about right now, it'll put it on a whole different level. I'm not to say that what you're talking about is not important, but our lives are at stake. They're trying to wipe off the human race off the planet.
Hey, sister. My life has been at stake since the day I was born here.
Well, I mean that not in a personal sense. I'm saying if from a species. I don't think in terms of person. I'm thinking in terms of the human race. We all have to die. Some people say there's no such thing as death. I don't know whether there is or not. But we all have to expire out of these bodies. you know, which I look at as just a space suit that you wear, a body suit, while you're here having an experience in this dimension. But I don't want to go there because that's not the topic tonight. So thank you, Chef Rob, for letting me interject into your conversation, and I'm just going to listen.
Thank you, sister, for calling in.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Right, so, and also, in all sincerity, thanks to your family for their service. I mean, you know, it's a hell of a thing to go out there and especially to defend this country with everything that has been going on here. And it takes a hell of a person to overlook that, you know, whether they be misguided or not, it's something that they did, to overlook that and put themselves in a position to defend this country from, you know, all of the games that are being played as far as, you know, because like you said, it's all corporate. So, the very concept of war has always been a corporate entity. That's something that's been so obvious for me. I mean, you know, the Vietnam era brought that into focus for me because I was coming of age then. Because like it's always been said that if we were really at war in Vietnam, although we lost more people, so many people in Vietnam that it would be difficult to understand why they wouldn't basically call it a war. But if it had been a war, the people in the United States that had made so much money off of the Vietnam War would have been declared traitors. So, you know, it's always been a corporate entity in and of itself. It just takes the lives, and it like you said, this depopulation thing, war definitely takes the lives of a great many people, and it seems to always take more lives of people of color than anyone else, especially in these days, because the other color doesn't even send their sons and daughters to war anymore. And now y'all go and fight. Is there a credo? So I understand the corporate thing. I believe what it is that you're saying. And, you know, my solution would be the solutions that I believe would resolve it are violence or divine intervention. Well, divine intervention means the God stepping in and just taking the whole planet under his control. And I think that would cost more lives than any war that could ever. You know, you got to get rid of a lot of bad people to check this situation. So,
yeah, I agree. Sister, did you have another reply? Your line's open.
I'm sorry, I had muted myself. Am I still open?
Your line's open. Yeah. I want to get back to mentioning a couple of things about these some of the blacks who served in the U.S. military, because I was checking out this thing about Mecca Evers, right? And Mecca Evers became a civil rights leader, right?
Right.
He went in following his brother. You there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so Mecca Evers went in following his brother. But he also felt that, hey, look, he jumped into the U.S. military, and just like AC said, you know, he felt it was a duty to honor him, get home, he's going to get all this stuff. But he went in, it was segregated.
Right.
When he got back, that segregation, being segregated, that's what started to tick him off. So when he got back, that's where he got back and wanted to organize and be part of something. And I think that one thing I was trying to go ahead and mention earlier, that there's a lot of us that go ahead and gain a lot of these skills while we're on active duty that could go ahead and be real beneficial to the neighborhood. I think it would stop a lot of our problems and wake up a lot of our people, especially to some of the things that you were saying, sister, because a lot of our people are not, I can't say aware, but a lot of them know what's going on, but think that you're crazy for mentioning it. So when you go ahead and you come across some veterans who's traveled around the planet and seen some other stuff, you come back and be like, hey, look, Dad, you need to wake up. There's some stuff going on out there.
Yes, sir. And I put two links
in your
chat room. I put two links in your chat room.
Okay, I'm going to try to check them out. They ain't coming up. I'll try and get them. AC, what was the biggest difference you saw when you went overseas, when you came back? You were like, okay, well, that shit ain't right in America because I saw something over here.
During my time in the military, when I went overseas, what amazed me, I went to Europe. And what amazed me, like I said, I avoided Vietnam like the plague, and that was the era that that I was involved in as far as my military service. So I wound up in Europe. And what amazed me about being over there in the American military is their fascination with black people. It was like, I mean, it was like, you know, it was almost rock star status. You know, it was just it was quite, you know, a wonderful thing for me that, you know, these people were like, oh, black man. I was like, oh, get that. In Spain, I guess they use the term negra, but in their language that means black. They weren't on the nigger tip. At least I don't think they were on the nigger tip. You understand what I'm saying? They were talking. You know, I was relatively high yellow, but you know, I was still recognized, you know, as being black. And it was just, I mean, they said it with a smile on their face, and they wanted conversation, and they wanted, you know, and, I mean, the ones that didn't talk good English, they would say black man, and ultimately ask about a medic. You know, that's the way they spoke. So that always amazed me. I actually enjoyed that.
So, okay. So you came back to the U.S. and they didn't treat your ass the same way, did they?
Who's that?
White folks.
No, I tried to tell you, Chef Rob, I was one of those fortunate people. White people didn't treat me at all. You know, grace of God, luck, whatever you want to call it. I just want to, you know. During my early years, I just didn't have white people coming up to me calling me nigger. I didn't. I wasn't even involved in altercation where some white person would call me nigger and I would break their jaw. I didn't have that. So, you know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I didn't experience a lot of that. You know, unless of course, like I said, when we traveled over in what was considered the forbidden zone, when we traveled in areas that were predominantly white, you know, and there was like 15 of them and two of you, then yeah, you would hear niggas then, but, you know, the odds were with them. And, you know, basically, like I said, we went over there looking for altercations. It was like what we did during the summer. Kind of crazy, but, you know. That's what we did to liven up a hot summer night. So, you know, it's like I've always recognized this as a gang. I mean, because like I said, the only time I ever heard comments about race from white people is when I was outnumbered or we were outnumbered. Whoever I was with was outnumbered by the number of, by the number of white people that were around when I heard comments like that. Or they might have been, you know, I might have been in these neighborhoods and they were driving by a speeding car and they would throw out the bottle and so forth and so on. You see what I'm saying? Things like that. And call you nigger as they drove away at a high rate of speed.
Yeah, that's a common thing.
Cowardice, yeah. So, but for one-on-one, Never had a situation where a white person walked up to me and called me like you see them doing that I see them doing in movies about the South. Hey, nigger, nah, never happened. So,
yeah, let me take a break real quick. Come right back.
Incredible. I don't know what I'd do if I can't be with you.
much of the love.
Chef Rob Show and your host Chef Rob. Basically, we're trying to go ahead and have a discussion with my opposition, but it doesn't seem like they never want to show up to this kind of topic. Say that again?
Remember I told Chef Rob, they'll be back.
But my, I always like to hear you talk about politicians. Sometimes we get heated. So
well,
just
you know,
basically I want you to tell me who ticked you off this week.
Well, okay. My problem is this. I've watched a lot of politicians come and go in this country. And so I don't expect much from politicians, but I don't know if it is not. I don't know if it was naivete or not. You know, I didn't really think that a lot would be accomplished. I hope that the president Barack Obama, I hope that he would win two terms when he won. I knew that his first term, that you know, it's like for me. And the one area where I disagreed with what the sister was saying was when she said that we have to get off of race. Sorry, I'm a black man born and raised in the United States of America. I cannot get off race. I can't do it. It may be my failing, but it's a failing that I've been living with all my life. I cannot get off race. So I was very hopeful that at some point in time that this first the first president of the United States to ever look like me hasn't done more for those who look like him. And I like to listen to, like the statement he made, Trayvon Martin could have been his son. I appreciate that. But, if those sentiments were sincere, then, there would have been a lot more forceful things done as far as I'm concerned from the office of President of the United States. But then again, it goes back to what the sister was saying, that this is a corporate entity. This is not a government. And when I speak of, and in all honesty, when I speak of this country being governed, I'm basing it on what I learned in American history, U.S. government classes that I had to take in school. I mean, this is what they put into my head. And so basically when I speak about the failing of their Constitution, of their Declaration of Independence, of their Bill of Rights, I'm pointing to the hypocrisy of this entire system. But, in a corporation, see, this is the deal. In a government entity, there can be hypocrisy. In a corporation, there can be no hypocrisy because the only hypocrisy in a corporation is not making money. As long as you're making money in a corporation, you're doing what it is that you're supposed to do, no matter how you do it. By hook or by crook is the term. As long as, corporations hire lawyers so that they can dance across the line of legality and illegality, make money doing it, and yet not go to jail. So there is no hypocrisy in a corporation unless that corporation isn't making money. But when you're talking about a government that is a bill, it was very enlightening to hear the sisters speak about this isn't a government. The governmental entity was disbanded in the 30s when they went bankrupt. Okay. I can get with that. So, we've basically, they've been lying to us for a long time, but in the 30s they, told us the big lie because the government was no longer here. So.
Well, sir, what's your name?
Brother A.C.
Brother A.C., my name is Sister Ngoni. You see, there's two constitutions.
Slowly, sister. Sister.
Ngoni. N-G-O-N-E. Ngoni Al.
O-N-E. Ngoni.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Sister Ngoni.
You talked about hypocrisy. It's not hypocrisy. First of all, the Constitution never had anything to do with the people. It was to limit the government, the three branches of government, the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch, so that none of them would overpower the other. Secondly, it's not about hypocrisy, it's about occupation, because D.C., the District of Columbia, is a foreign territory, 10 by 10 square miles, and what they have done is occupied the republic for the people. So it's under occupation. And it's not my opinion. There's a document online called the Libra Code, LIEBER. You can read about it. We've been under occupation since 1861 because the Congress never reconvened after Reconstruction, after the Civil War. So, yes, you were lied to. I was lied to. We've been told lies all our life. We were born into this myth, this illusion. And now it's the end of the road, end game.
Okay. One question, sister. What was the basic tenet in relationship to government as far as the illusion is concerned? What have they been telling us all the time as far as the illusion is
concerned? I'm agreeing with you that, yes, we have been living in an illusion, I'm agreeing with you.
You're right. But see,
we were born into it.
So what was the basic tenet of, what do you consider the basic tenet of that illusion?
That you are living in a country and that you have a patriotic duty to serve that country and that you should go and get your legs blowed off or go to somebody else's country that hasn't done anything to you and go and fight for something illusional called democracy, which
right.
this country was a constitutional republic. It was never designed to be a democracy, and that's where the lie comes in right there. It was
right.
changed
well,
to a democracy after the bankruptcy. That's why the borders have been open for decades. Because once you see a sovereign country, can't you lose your sovereignty?
I believe the basic tenet of this illusion that we live was that this was a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, and it's never been that.
Yes, it has, for 6 years, from 1782 to 1789. But it didn't involve us because it was in the Articles of Confederation. It specified a certain group of people that were
exactly.
a part.
But it doesn't say that. It says of the people. And contrary to the popular, except from 1782 to 1789, they had an institution in this country called slavery, where people were enslaved. And so,
but you didn't hear me. I said the Articles of Confederation specified a certain group of people.
Well, no, I'm talking about, like I said, the basic tenet of this illusion was that it was a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. But there were a number of people that were made slaves.
No, it was not. That's what you were taught, and that's not correct.
So, you know, what were they trying to suggest to me when they were teaching me that, Sister Dunn?
They were indoctrinating us. They were conditioning us.
Conditioning
that's called indoctrination,
me,
assimilation.
Conditioning me to what? Indoctrinating me to what? To believe.
To believe in something that doesn't exist.
To believe that this was that something that didn't exist was the fact. Okay, let me slow down. What they were indoctrinating me to believe, though it didn't exist, was the unfactual situation that this was a government of the people, by the people, and for the people.
Okay, what?
They,
I'm sorry,
even
I didn't
when they
mean
made
to...
statements, they had people enslaved.
Okay. See, this is. Whew. Okay, the 13 colonies were chartered corporations by King George. That's number one. They needed
right.
people to come over here and clear the land, and so they let a lot of their horse thieves and prostitutes and criminals out of their prisons, and they made them sign a contract to work off their debt. So they sent them over here, and they told us the lie that they were running from religious persecution. Maybe some of them were, but they gave us this big myth. But see, today it's still a British colony, okay? It still is. And there's three cities that rule the world. The Vatican City is one. It's a sovereign city. The City of London is a sovereign city, has nothing to do with the UK or England. It's a sovereign city, just like the District of Columbia is a sovereign city. That's the reason why right now they have gun cases in the District of Columbia when the Supreme Court has ruled that you have a Second Amendment right to bear arms, but in D.C., if you get caught with a gun, you get a federal case because it's a foreign territory that is registered in Puerto Rico.
And what's the significance of it being registered in Puerto Rico, if you don't mind me asking?
Foreign territory. It's not a part of the United States. I'm trying to differentiate for you from the myth that this is the America, the United States for America. It started off with the Articles of Confederation, and each one of the states, it specified in the Articles of Confederation that the white people and white, by the way, has nothing to do with how you look. It's a status in law. It means you have standing in the law. And black means you don't have standing in the law. Because under the Articles of Confederation, that's why I said we got to get off this racism, because racism, I'm not saying we should forget our history. I'm not saying can we all get along like Rodney King. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying this race issue is a distraction that keeps us always trying to figure out what is going on. And it's not about that. See, this is the only place on the planet that has this psychosis about what color you are. Other people identify themselves based on their ethnicity. And the whole concept of race was a construct created by a German named Blumenbach. And his cronies suggested what was done
to
people all over the world. Okay, I'll stop.
Hold on. I went to Australia, and I seen the Aborigines down there, and they separate them from the white folks.
Okay, I'm not saying, okay, it was 1970 before they even identified the Aborigines as human beings.
You know what I'm saying? But they separate
that.
You should see how they live rough down there, rough.
I understand that. You're not getting my point. See, this is how they maintain dominance and control over nations. They don't only play here in the West, they play the color game. Other places, they play, they pit one ethnic group off against another. That's the reason why you got East Germany, West Germany, North Vietnam, South Vietnam. Those are the same people.
But here's my question, though. Okay, so how do we level the playing field?
I don't have the answer, Chef Rob. All I'm saying is what we do is analyze the problem from some place where, you know, like
okay,
Michael Jackson.
But there is a problem with going ahead and having the whites on top. You know, ones you say not whites, but the whites on
not
top. And the
saying
ones you say black.
That. See, every time a person says about the racism, first thing that goes in somebody's mind is that you're saying, oh, just forget about it. Let's just forget about slavery. Can we all get along? I keep saying that's not where I'm coming from. But once you understand history, then you see the game that's been played, because I will repeat myself. White means status and standing in the law.
That's not what I was saying, baby. Come on. What I'm saying is that you and I know it already. So what are we going to do? What's to go ahead and to move forward from that so we don't let it happen again?
Okay. First thing I think we have to understand is the laws of nations. We're under international law. The whole planet is operated on Admiralty Maritime Law. Now, during peacetime, it's maritime law. During wartime, and that's what we've been in for the last hundreds of years, because every so-called CEO that we think is a president, the first thing they do is sign the state of emergency, which suspends the Constitution. So the first thing we need to understand is you can't be free if you don't have no place to stand. And I just got done telling you Agenda 21, which is the United Nations Declaration, a treaty that was signed by George Herbert Walker Bush and is global, to take all property rights away from the people. So you can't be free if you can't have your own laws. You ain't going to never be free as long as you got to go by somebody else's rules and regulations. That's a myth. So this whole idea about being a nation within a nation, come on, it's time for us to grow up and you know what I'm saying, and stop believing in fairy tales. When you, how can you call yourself a nation within a nation when you got to go
caller.
Ask?
We have a new, yeah, I think this guy has a different perspective. I'm going to take a chance. I
want to hear what the sister said. I think she's very informative. No disrespect to whoever you're talking to. I want to hear the sister talk because this is interesting to me. I mean, although I see it being, if anything, a synonymous problem or a parallel problem, it's very interesting to me. So,
let me. I'm kind of confused. Hey, Derek Cooper.
Yeah. All right, boys. How you doing?
All right. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing.
You got a question or comment?
Yeah, I've got a comment. It's not more of a question, but it could turn into a question. My comment is that when you look at that scientifically, not godly, scientifically, which is really what's going on in this planet, the white race have more or less dominated the entire planet. More or less, you know, we're everywhere. We're everywhere. You might call us the white devil, you know, whatever you want to call. But I do believe it's not an issue when it comes to, like, this and that. It's a race thing. It's a race thing. And I am not a racist person. Now, let me say this now. I'm not a racist person. But I do believe that, and history can prove this, that the white mind has a higher IQ than the black mind. Yes, I know. You're going to say, oh, Lord. I mean, you boys can't even speak English, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You make up your own English. But
you fuck English.
I mean, look at it. Look at what's happened on the Earth, on the whole entire planet, yeah?
Right.
As a species, a human race, and then we've got branches of other species which come out. I mean, you sit there and you talk, I'm going to kill him, you know? Even your songs, you're like, fucking nigger, I'm going to my finger on the trigger. My nigger.
Okay,
hold on a minute. You know?
Now let him talk. Please let him talk.
Okay, all right.
Go ahead, Mr. Cooper.
Yeah, well, I do believe in the human race as a whole, entire populated planet, but you cannot see I even saw it on a documentary. A Swiss scientist has sat down and analyzed every single genetic human genome on the planet, and it's all come down to, I'm sorry to say to you boys, I'm sorry to say, but the Africans
never be sorry to speak
have
back.
The lowest IQ.
Yeah, you know what, but this was a white man doing all that.
No, Chef Rob, let him finish. Let him finish.
I'm sorry to say, I am sorry to say, but a Swiss, yes, she was a white person. She sat down, she got the Mongolians, she got the Chinese, she got the Indians. You know, I'm talking about the Indians as in the Native American Indians. And she
what
also
about
got
the Chinese
Indians
doctor that did his stuff?
Let him speak, Rob. Stop interrupting him. Let him speak.
Yeah, you could destroy me in a minute. Yeah, let me talk. You can destroy me in a minute. So she said all this, gathered up all the data after she tested every single genome across the planet. She tested through physical, mental tests, and what it came out was is that the white person was the most intelligent. Next was the Asians.
Right.
And I'm sorry to say, but as a whole, on an average, it's not like
okay,
one.
Okay, you finish with it. Let somebody respond to what you got.
No, he hasn't finished speaking.
Planet.
Rob, let him talk.
No,
he
can destroy me now. Go on. He can destroy me now.
I have one thing to ask you. Okay. With your superior intellect, right?
No, I'm not saying that.
What are you saying? Your superior mentality?
No.
You're not suggesting a superiority?
I'm saying it's fact. If you get 30 children, 30 black children, 30 Asian children, and 30 white children, it's a fact that the 30 white children were always the very higher intellect. You know, they will always destroy the next two races. It's a fact. It's proven.
Let me ask him questions, please.
Okay.
First of all, What is it? I mean, you're suggesting a superiority as far as intellect is concerned, Mr. Cooper, right?
No. When did I say superiority?
Well, I'm asking. You said that. Okay, so why are you bringing it up if you're not suggesting a superiority? What difference does it make if you're not suggesting a superiority? Okay, you're suggesting that the white race is smarter than all of the other races, right? Is that what you're saying? Or do I misunderstand because
proven.
I don't speak English?
It's scientifically, if you do speak English, you're speaking it right now.
Oh, but I don't speak English well.
You're speaking a dialect of English.
What is the significance of this, more superior mentality, more superior intellect?
When it comes to language, we say this. You, genetically, it's passed down through your mother. We say this, TH. You say this, DIS. You know, you cannot see.
No, I say this, TH.
Well, yeah, not everyone, but as a whole, as a whole.
No. Not as a whole, because I say this. I enunciate. Always have. Always will.
Well,
I don't have a lazy tongue.
They say
but
this,
back to my
that,
original question:
this,
what is the
that.
Significance of this? You know, like I said, for lack of a better term, what is the significance of this intellectual superiority that you suggest,
brother?
What does it mean,
brother? The first thing you need to do is define your terms. See, this is why I say this race issue is nothing but a distraction. What is intelligence? How do we define it? He's talking about genetics. Bruce Lipton has shown, and he's a physicist, he has a very good documentary on biology of belief, that they've been lying to us about how DNA works for 50 years. So now you're arguing with this man about some silliness about this white superior. How it becomes, that's how it becomes a distraction, and we don't never get anywhere.
You
ever heard the term epigenetics? Have you ever heard the term epigenetics?
What is the question I keep asking?
Genetics?
Okay.
Yes, all I
if you if you believe that this is factual, what is the significance of this factuality? That's the question I've been trying to ask. That's it. I'm not arguing with him about anything.
But you didn't even bother to define the terms. You let him say.
It doesn't matter what the terms are.
Yeah, it does matter, because what they do is they always.
Well, it doesn't matter to me, and I'm the one that's asking the question. Can I ask?
They always frame the discussion, and then we ask questions.
Can I ask a question?
And I'm asking, how do you define intelligence?
What difference does it make?
How do you define intelligence?
I'm not concerned.
You're not concerned with that?
No, I'm asking him. What is the significance of his statement? What does
well, what
mean?
Difference does it make if you don't even agree on the terms he's using? You haven't even defined.
I'm trying to clarify what it is that he said.
Chef, may I answer his question? Chef Rob, may I please answer this caller's question?
Foolish question.
This person's question. What I'm talking about is the ability. What IQ is the ability of how you see the world. It's not about 1 + 1. It's not about what you can do in maths. It's not about written knowledge or language. It's about how you see the world. That's how IQ is calculated.
And look at the world. Look at the condition of the world today. Since you're so intelligent and more intelligent than anybody else on the planet. Look at the world today.
You're stepping all on me. Why?
I'm sorry.
Brother, Mr. Cooper, okay, once again, okay, are you suggesting that you have a clearer perspective than of the world than any other, for lack of a better term, race?
Not personally.
No, I'm talking about as a race of people.
White people have a
clearer perspective of the world than any other race.
I do believe all you need to do is look around you and see what's going on.
That's not easier said than done, especially when you're making these statements about what I feel is the superiority of one race over another. So are you saying, because what I'm seeing is that you're basically justifying the position of white people in this society, i.e. running this society, as opposed to Asians or African-Americans or black people running the society. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not. I'm not saying that, no.
So
I'm
what
not.
Are you saying? Why are you bringing up the fact that you are suggesting that you have a better intellect, a better perspective of the world than the other races? That
not
is
me.
What you're saying.
Not, yes, that's
no,
what
I'm
saying.
No, I'm talking about
your
race.
As a race, and I'm not segregating either. I'm not trying to say, evolution.
Mr. Cooper, may I ask
evolves,
you? May I ask you? Don't tell me what you're not trying to say. Please tell me what you are trying to say.
Okay, what I am trying to say is that a national study, an European, I do believe it might have been even worldwide study, has proven, and it is physical evidential proof, you can look it up on the net, that the races of the earth, the African Americans, well, should I just say the Africans, the white people, and the Asians, which are really, there's only really three races left on this.
Negroid, mongoloid, caucasoid. Yeah, I get all of that. So
yeah, you call that,
move on.
You yourself whatever you want to. Yeah, but there was a study on the Earth that said that the white man is species-wide as a whole, not individually, as a whole, they perform better when it comes to intellectual tasks, Asians. And I'm sorry to say that the Asians beat you boys as well. You're also still in the bin. You know, you're right down the bottom. Yeah.
No, I'm not going to even draw disrespect from the term boy, but what I'm asking you once again, what is the significance of your findings? What does it mean that you have this superiority as far as intellect is concerned?
No, you said it again. I didn't say it. You said it. Superiority. Yeah. It's got nothing to do with it. It's got nothing to do with it.
What does it have something to do with then? Now, maybe I'm using the wrong word. What word would you use? What is its significance? What is the significance of your findings? That's all I'm asking.
The significance of my findings is the entire planet. Look at what's going on around you. Look at who's the prime minister of Italy? Yeah, is white. Yeah, right. Who's the race? Right, because you wouldn't know that. Who's the race? The prime minister of Italy. Who
okay.
is the race?
Prime minister of Italy. It was a black woman.
It's not. It's a
no, it's
man.
Not.
Yeah, it was.
No, it's not.
No,
no
it was.
It's a man.
The last prime minister was Berlusconi, and he's in jail for crimes. Okay, so what is this you're saying? I mean, because when you bring up the head of the government or the corporation, as the sister says, the head of the corporation of Italy is a white man, it sounds to me like you're basically saying that white men should be running the world. Is that
no.
what you're saying?
Well, we are, though, aren't we?
You're
be.
Right, and to that point, let me
it
offer you this.
Be that way.
You've been
it
running the world
be that way,
for an extended period of time, and look how fucked up it is.
Yeah, you're right. You're
so
right.
Maybe you
you're
should give up. Maybe you should give up your stewardship because you've done nothing for the world but bring it down. Okay, you and your superior intellect has basically ruined this world. You're killing it. So don't sit there and brag about your intellect when it's doing absolutely positively no good for the people of the world. How about that?
Well, what have the Romans ever done for us? What have the Romans ever done for us?
What have the Romans?
Yeah, what have the Romans ever done for us?
What does that have? They cease
that's
to exist.
You don't understand
that's
what
they did
about,
for you.
Yeah.
They
you
cease to exist.
What have the Romans ever done for us? They give
they
us
ceased,
the
they ceased to exist. There are no more Romans, okay? That's
yeah,
what they did
are.
For
Definitely.
You. They died out.
No, they didn't.
Their concepts died with them.
No, they
and
didn't.
As far as I'm concerned, that's exactly what white people should do. Die out.
Well, all I'm telling you, boys, right, is that I
and
saw...
And like I said, I'm not going to even take offense to the fact that you keep using that term boy.
I didn't say
because
that.
I consider that your yeah. ignorance. And one more point. One more point, white people, Asian people, or Mongolians and Negroids, in this world, who can remember, done the most work?
I don't understand.
Well, that doesn't count for anything, huh? That doesn't count for anything, the fact that we've done the work. And oh, by the way, white
yes,
man,
yes, your country.
Where do you think your knowledge came from? Who
yeah,
taught
well.
You? Who taught you? Who taught the world? Do you know that, Mr. Intellect?
I do, yeah, I do know who taught the world.
Who
too.
Taught the world?
Yeah, Aristotle, Alexander the Great.
Aristotle? Where did Aristotle learn?
Aristotle learned a hell of a lot. So did Galileo.
Where did he learn?
Planets. He learned about the movement.
Where did he learn it?
Where did he learn it?
W-H-E-R-T. Where did he learn it?
He learned it by his own intellect.
Get the fuck out of here. He learned it in Africa. Please. Your intellect insults me. He learned it in Africa.
Okay, you tell me how Aristotle learned his intellect about the movement of the planets in Africa.
He crossed the Mediterranean.
Did he?
From Europe. When you cross the Mediterranean Sea from Europe and go due south, you wind up in Africa. That's how he learned. Okay?
Yeah, go on.
Check your history, pal.
Yeah, go on. Tell me.
Huh?
Tell me.
Well, I made my point.
Well, Aristotle moved to Africa and learned his knowledge.
The Negroid race, as you call it, stopped you from pissing and drinking your water at the same time, pal. Pissing in your water and then turning around and drinking it. We taught you that. Don't do that. You were dying from stuff like that. We taught you
not
to live with your animals. Don't do that.
You said that word.
So with your intellect was stolen, partner. And then you bastardized it from then on so that nobody else could learn. That's what you've been doing. That's how you have ruled this country. Don't play.
You boys just accidentally on purpose forgot how to...
Accidentally on purpose forgot? Well, I'll tell you what. You know, we still are leagues ahead of you. I mean, because the most important thing you learn with intellect is respect for other entities, other living entities on this planet. Of which you have none.
Well, from what I see, you boys.
You don't care about the animals. You don't care about the people. You don't care about the planet. All you care about is you.
From what I see,
that's all you've ever done is care about you. Everything else be damn.
You're
basically
still burning witches.
You are going to be. You caused the cataclysms that happen in this world. You caused the wars with your superior intellect. That's all you've ever done. That's all you've ever done.
Yeah, science. I have a religion, yeah? You boys still worship fairies and Santa Claus, where we can see in the outer
and
universe
what do you
and
worship?
See what's going on.
What do, Mr. Cooper, what do you worship? What is your religion?
I don't have one. I believe
you don't have one.
Evolution.
You believe
and
in evolution?
That makes...
Okay, here's an evolutionary question for you, Mr. Cooper.
Fairy tales, yeah.
Mr. Cooper, here's an evolutionary question for you, also a physics question. Can you get black out of white?
Can you get black out of white?
Out of white.
I suppose, yeah, if you mixed up some other colors.
No, you can't. You can't.
Yeah, you can.
White is the presence of all, white is the absence of color. Black is the presence of all color. In order to get to white, you have to dilute black down, pal. You do understand that with your superior intellect, don't you?
That's physics. You're telling me that you have to dilute the white to get
so
the black.
So in other words, Mr. Cooper, the oldest known living entity on this planet came from where?
All I'm telling you, my man, is that what I've
the
seen,
oldest known living entity on
seen,
this planet came from what
people.
Region of the world?
There was a test done, worldwide test, and it came out that black people, on average, not every single one, but on average, the black person has the IQ of 80. The white person has the IQ of
100. With your superior IQ, can you tell me where the oldest known living entity came from? What region of the world did it come from, Mr. Cooper?
The oldest known entity on this earth.
Living entity in this
living world, living man
in this world came from what region of the world?
Canada, I suppose, because the oldest living thing on this earth is probably the redwood trees in Canada.
No, I'm talking about human. Right.
Oh, well, when it comes to human, I would say the oldest origins so far they're saying everyone came from Africa.
Right, which means black people were here first. You came later, which means you came from black people.
Yeah, and
don't
we
get it twisted.
Into more
unless, of course, unless, I mean, we were here. And another thing, the way you run things around here, first entitles you to ownership. And since black people were here first, that means we basically owned the planet, and therefore you stole it.
What, we stole it?
Yeah.
Is that how you say it?
With your superior intellect.
So if
and another thing.
No,
intellect means nothing unless you're willing to share it with the people around you. With your superior intellect, what is it that you're teaching?
Turned into white people,
what is it that you're teaching?
What
do you
teach?
What
is it that I'm teaching? I'm not teaching anything.
You teach dumb shit like superiority.
I don't teach anything.
That's what you're espousing now? Whether you know it or not,
teachings.
That's what you're espousing now. You're espousing superiority. And what has your superiority done for this world? Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
What have you done for the fucking world apart from sit on your ass?
You sound like a fucking brother when you said fucking.
What have you done apart from burn your fucking own sins?
I beg your pardon?
I said, what have you done on this earth apart from burn your own family members for witchcraft? This is the 21st century, and you're still burning witches.
We're still burning witches.
In Africa, yeah, not in America.
You're up on the technology. You give people heart attacks with poison.
You need to educate yourself. You create disease.
As a matter of fact, for all intents and purposes, you are a disease.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You are a disease.
Your creation was a disease.
What, so...
The loss of color? Really?
Yeah, do you know what? The loss of color came about.
Yeah, I know how it became about.
Yeah, go on then. You tell me how...
Mutation. Mutation. That's
okay,
how it came about.
Yeah, go on.
Moving into the cold climate that you come from. That's how it came about.
Evolution, yeah.
With emphasis on evil.
What, evolution? So the black man evolved into the white man, a higher.
No, the other way around. The white man evolved from the black man.
Oh, okay. So every man in Africa was white. And we built everything. No, that's what you're saying.
No. I didn't say anything about every man in Africa being white. I said the reason that you became white is because you moved up into the northern climates where there was less sun. That's what
evolved.
I'm saying.
Yeah, we evolved, yeah?
Yeah, you evolved, yeah. And with you evolved evil. With your superior intellect, you haven't done anything for this world except bring it to its knees.
Yeah, and give you running fresh water, give you the Burger King, give you Coca-Cola.
Fresh.
Yeah.
You know, your intellect isn't serving you very well right now.
Is it not?
No, it's not.
You tell me the national statistics. What I'm giving you is the national statistics.
Who controls the statistics, Mr. Cooper? Who controls the statistics?
It's called a worldwide test.
You can make statistics say and mean anything.
What they do,
just like you've done with this intellect stuff.
Listen to me for a second, right? What they do.
I've been listening to. Hey, I did not interrupt you for it. As a matter of fact, I backed Chef Rob up off you so that you could say what it is that you had to say.
Yes.
I think you know, like I said, like some white man said, his name will come to me shortly.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It is better to stay silent, believe that you're stupid, than to open your mouth and remove all doubt.
Every single educated person around the planet who goes to school, they all get recorded down, okay? Everyone gets recorded. That national...
And please, while you're speaking English, I wish you would end your sentences and prepositions. Very poor English.
Yeah. Well, everything gets written down. It all goes up to one person.
Mr. Cooper, try everything is written.
That one person will suffice. It filters out who's done what, just for some purposes. And what they found is that the black person has the lowest IQ of all races on the earth. I'm sorry to tell you.
It makes me feel great for you to say something like that, you know. It really makes me feel great. It doesn't affect me at all because who's statistics worthy, you know?
I mean, you know, like I said, you know, you want to issue out, but, you know, I listen to everything that it is you had to say. And I think I've thoroughly debunked everything that it is that you have to say. So, you know, if you want to continue talking, that's up to Chef Rob.
Carry on then. Well, I'll tell you what, boys.
I've said nothing. Yeah, I've heard you loud and clear. Did you hear me?
I'm going to lead you boys to it. You can go and put your heads off your chickens and start, you know, doing your food.
Pull the heads off of chicken.
Yeah,
you sound like you are either from England or one of the colonies of the Commonwealth. And
one of
you
the
want
many,
to talk to me
many,
about
yeah.
Strange, what is it, religious rituals? You?
One of the many
descendant
races
of the Druids?
From which
you want to
speak.
Talk to me about witches? Really?
All right, brother. Anyway, it was nice talking to you. I'm going to leave you to it, right? I only told you what I saw on the telly, right? And I saw a documentary that said that...
Okay, you saw it on the telly, right?
Yeah.
So, and who was...
I got something else.
Okay, so who produced this thing? Who was it? Who wrote it? Who backed it? Where'd the money come from?
The BBC.
BBC. You know, so who backs the BBC?
Well, who backs this and who backs that and who backs him and who
backs him? Yeah, where's your information? Who is responsible for the publication of your information is basically what he's asking.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
Who made the chicken? Who made the egg? You know, who made God? Who made man?
Who made
the monkey? You know, it's a national.
How does that answer what I'm saying?
It's a worldwide.
Wait a minute. Hey, you're tripping now. Okay, so how does your response answer my question?
How does my response answer your question? I don't know. You need to tell me that, not you.
I think he's suggesting that it doesn't.
Okay. Hey, sister, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. Did you hear this nonsense?
I just heard about the last 3 or 4 minutes, maybe 5. And
I'm through.
I was hearing him saying something about black. All I heard was blacks have the lowest IQ.
Right.
Yeah. That's basically in a nutshell. But he can't really explain it.
Based upon what?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the IQ test is, you know, a racially biased test anyway. That's been proven.
He doesn't know that. He doesn't know that.
He doesn't know that part.
And by the way, I wonder what his
IQ
was.
Yeah, I don't know that part because I don't live in the USA. You know, in your country, every black person is damned. You know, in your country, every black person has got no chance whatsoever of getting a job. They've got no chance whatsoever. I'm not talking about the USA. I'm talking about the Earth. I'm talking about worldwide. And that's what this test was, worldwide.
So you're saying worldwide that a black person's IQ is less than everyone else's, or what exactly?
That's what it said.
Yes.
Okay, but again, you know, I understand maybe you're a type of person who just listens to information and repeats it, but you have to be able to dissect information, and you do need to know where it's coming from. I heard you say, well, who made God, this and that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about who runs what, and that does make a difference when it comes to things like testing, when it comes to things like, you know, these studies and research and things like that. It does make a difference.
Yeah, you know.
It's
like you're biased, isn't it? If you're white, you're biased. Yeah.
I mean, but what you're not understanding is, excuse me, and we live in America. I know you don't or whatever, but we live, and I'm sure England is pretty similar, from people I know who live in the UK. It's a white infrastructure. Therefore, how can anyone else really compete?
I'll tell you something, girl. I'll tell you something right now. You guys
run
believe.
You say girl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't call me girl, please.
Here we go.
I believe it, man. You won't believe it, man. In this country where I live, the UK, the United Kingdom, right? It's a whole different world from where you live. Over
mm-hmm.
here, if I'm walking down the street and I see a black person, I'm like,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, you know, carry on. Nothing of it, because I'm used to it. I'm seeing it every day. In your
mm-hmm.
country, you've got this big thing about race. I do think that the USA is the most racist country in the entire planet. I honestly do
Absolutely.
Believe that as well.
So if you know that, logically you know that, then how can you go by anything that is really put out there?
Well, I say,
you know, if you know it's the most racist country, how could you uphold any real information?
It's not for me to judge. I cannot judge your country. It's not for me. I can't go to your country and put a flag up and say, "Oh, Jesus, follow me." You know, I can't do it. But I'm telling you the facts. It was a world.
Hey, Rob, I thought you were going to have the show yesterday.
There was a worldwide study. The worldwide study showed that of all the races, as you call them, or I call them human beings, but of
oh,
all,
come on.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Of all
I,
the
I really...
Earth, the black people have the lowest IQ out of all the races.
I'm trying to look that information up right now so I can see what you're saying. Because when you say the black people, black meaning who? Black meaning Africans. Black meaning African Americans. Black meaning
yeah. I mean the
people
continent.
In the
UK.
I mean, what does that mean?
Yeah, yeah. I'm in the continent of Africa.
Fast.
Yeah.
Your what?
He lumped them all in one big basket, and he's saying that he's not talking about on an individual basis. He's talking about as a whole. When he says that black people have an inferior IQ to white people and Asians. He's talking about on a whole, not individually.
You
I
said
that
means, word. You said that word.
That,
well,
or some white
all I'm going to say about that is, I mean, we can never really know, you know, because we just don't exist in a climate that's going to be fair. It's just not. So how can you say to me that every race is higher IQ than black people? I mean, you have to, you're just making, that's a blanket statement to say without looking at all the factors involved. And like I said, even if you look at Africans, okay, as a whole, it's been said before that Nigerians are the smartest of all, if you really want to look at it in that way.
They
I mean, so that's
Africa.
What I'm saying. Who are you clarifying
oh,
as black?
In Africa. Yeah, the African continent.
Sister Ngoni?
No, that's Sister Renee. Oh, I just opened the line up. Say hello to our AC.
Sister Renee, Mr. Cooper suggested that white people gave the world running water.
Wow.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that. He said that. I did not say that. He said that.
Yes, you did.
You know.
Yes,
you did.
Yes, you did.
Do you know that actually, if you want to say blacks or Africans, that we civilized Europeans?
No, he doesn't. His superior intellect doesn't realize that.
Yeah,
he said.
Yeah, look at what
he said that Aristotle was basically self-taught.
Oh, okay. All right. Interesting. I guess you believe that the Egyptian, that the aliens made the pyramids and all that kind of stuff.
Is that what you believe?
I mean, that's, you know, that's kind of what's been said. And I feel that's to discredit black people in general, Africans in general, that's to try to discredit, you know, all the things that we did, even then. So they can say something like, oh, well, they could have never made this stuff. The aliens had to make this. No.
Listen, man, right? When European explorers went into the African interior, when Livingstone and Cartwright went deep inside the African interior, we found no buildings whatsoever. We found nothing. When Europeans also went into Australia, right, we found nothing. No buildings, no empires, no castles, no fortifications, nothing. All we found, people walking around with a little bit of cloth covering up their, you know, covering
up. And how were you
camp.
All when you found, how was Livingston, how were they when they found them? So they were civilized and they were dressed and had on the proper attire, right?
Well, I'll tell you what we found, the Europeans, right? Well, I can't speak for all Europeans, but for the British, when we entered Africa, you used to sell your brothers, your cousins, your uncles, sisters, and daughters. You used to sell them to us. And then we...
Okay.
Yeah, you used to sell them to us. We didn't know what to do with them, so we took them off to other countries and, you know...
Wow.
Go and work there, go and do that, you know. You know, we didn't know what to do. We used to turn up with, like, an iron knife, and we'd say, yeah, do you like this iron knife? You'll be like, yeah, that's better than my stone knife. Yeah, have my daughter. You know, you can have my daughter. She's a pain in the ass anyway, you know?
Excuse me? I think it's interesting how you were the one saying we're all human. But now you're making the distinction, your cousins and your uncles and your so on, and they sold them to us. Like, that's such a cliche thing for a white person to say. That has absolutely nothing to do with the price of tea in China, No, it does not.
When we used to turn up to your shores with peas in China, you used to say, I want them peas in China. You can have my brother's uncle's sister's second cousin. Yeah.
But what does that have to do with the enslavement of black people? What does that have to do?
What it's got to do with is that we did not run around your villages with torches, burning everything out that you see on the films. You used to trade.
Oh, wow.
You used to trade.
What did he say?
Trade with us. And you used to trade human beings with us.
Okay. But what does that have to do with the enslavement of a people, of
it's
my
not
ancestors?
To do with the enslavement of people. We used to turn up at your villages with a couple of guns, a couple of Winchesters. We used to say, yeah, look at this. We just got banks. But you say, yeah, I want that. Yeah, you can have my uncle's brother's sister's second cousin.
Oh,
anyway, take it. And we used to say, all right, yeah, we can use him. We can send him to America. We can get him digging up cotton farms, you know?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Let's get this straight, okay?
It's true.
Let's not give this image to Europeans as if you all were so noble. We would never enslave people. But let's get that straight, okay? You all were not noble people, and I'm not going to say that happen. We know that some African sold people, okay? But when you talk about the enslavement and when you talk about Europeans coming into Africa, let's be clear, all right, that they had many intentions in mind. And that was to take what they could get from Africa, which is the same thing intentions they have in mind today, which is to rape everything they can take from Africa.
Gold.
Let's be clear.
No, not everything we can take. We were after gold. And if you wanted to sell
gold, diamonds, the fertile soil, whatever they can get from Africa. Okay, that is why Europeans came in and try to colonize all these areas. Look at South Africa itself. Let's not act like Europeans are such noble people. I mean, let's throw that completely out the window. You came into a whole other continent. and took over a country, okay, and made the people basically into slaves, if you want to call it that. But they are nothing, all right? And these Afrikaners, these white people, are over them. Let's not forget all the things that Europeans did.
Okay, well, let's look at where you personally are at now. Where would you be right now? Would you rather live where you are now? I don't know where you are, Florida, United States, you know, living there, being nice, having McDonald's, or would you rather be in Africa, fighting for your life, trying to survive? Where would you be?
Let me tell you this. White people in general and other races of people who live here in Western society, they need to understand that Western society does not dictate everything being perfect, okay? People who live in certain cultures, that's what they know. That's the lifestyle that they lead. Who is to say that a Westernized lifestyle is better, okay? If you know this is your culture, this is your tribe, this is what you come from, this is what you exist in, who is to say that a Westernized lifestyle is better than that? Especially with all the things that we have going on. So you can't make that comparison. If I'm existing in Africa, I'm existing in my tribe, I'm existing amongst my people, okay, and I have a rich heritage and I know who and where I come from. How can you make that distinction to my people being enslaved, brutalized, raped, and everything under the sun?
Not slaves.
Okay,
no.
For me to be right here, right now.
So Would you prefer that your grandparents have sold you to the British, or would you prefer to be living in Africa?
I would prefer to be living in Africa. I would prefer for my people, my ancestors, to not have been brutalized, raped, and murdered, and lynched, and hung, and made to be slaves and work from morning till night. For the pregnant women to be out there working from morning till night, all day, every day, having babies cut out of them, everything under the sun. I wish my people did not have to go and be brutalized like that. So, yes.
Do that to yourself.
Mr. Cooper, let me offer you this. You asked the question, basically, where would black people be without the intervention of white people? I mean, I think that was basically...
Yeah.
The term is paradise. That's where black
that's
people
nice.
Would be.
Your
without
the
enemy. Said
that she'd be beaten, right? She'd be,
you
see,
you,
she'd be made to
you
wear
You mentioned earlier. I mean, you're the one that introduced turmoil into Africa. It wasn't there before you. You're the one that
No. Let's get this straight. We turned up.
White people in Africa, that black people were running around with cloth to cover up their genitals and things like that. Well, considering the weather conditions around at the equator, I would suggest that that was climatically appropriate.
Yeah,
a sign of inferiority or lack of. I think it was very intelligent, as opposed to running down there wearing helmets. And knickers.
Yeah, I have my uncle's brother, sister, second cousin. You know, we sell. You know, you can have that. I'll swap it for a knife.
Look at the primitive. Look at the perversion your people came from.
Well, I told him he was a disease. He didn't understand.
He still hasn't
answered the question of how you get black out of white, but everyone knows that, I mean, you know, you can get white out of black.
Right.
That question. But he did have enough intellect left to state that the remains of the oldest living person on this planet were from Africa, but yet somehow he jumped.
Wow.
That doesn't have any significance in when the white people actually came upon this planet. They came on after black people. And according to your laws and rules, by your laws and rules,
since black people were here first, we basically own everything, and you stole it.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, and your intellect has, your intellect, what you call intellect, has basically turned out to be a viciousness which you have spread throughout this world and brought this world to the edge of ruination. So, you know, that's what we think of your intellect.
You're living one week in your origin.
Who was doing all of the work? Who did the work? He refused to answer that.
We gave you the blessing of life. We gave
you
the blessing of seeing.
You
of
have
seeing.
Given us absolutely nothing. Like I said before.
Who gave
us
the blessing of life?
If it wasn't for black people, you'd still be urinating in the same river that you grew your drinking water. So,
mm-hmm.
You,
that's why you all had to wear high heels, excuse me, because you were living in such squalor that you were living in your own waste and things like that. It was the Africans, it was the blacks who came in and the Moors who came in and civilized Europe. Let's get that straight.
No, you're talking about the USA. You're talking about USA.
No, I'm talking about Europe.
Europeans had already had every single disease you ever could imagine. We had it. When we came to the USA, our diseases alone, our very presence, eliminated almost 80% of your population.
Do you know that Germany,
Let me say this. Okay, we're talking about disease. Do you know 19 out of the 20 top plagues that wiped out whole people? 19 of that out of them 20 came out of Europe.
Smallpox.
The other one was in India. There's never been nothing like that. Your black plague, your bubonic plague, all that stuff. 19 of the worst worlds on world record, world history. 19 of them come out of Europe. Explain that, Mr. Cooper.
Yeah, it's called smallpox. It's called evolution. It's called the
ability. Because I was living in squalor and disease and infestation.
It's called the ability to adapt to a disease which would otherwise eliminate the human race. It's called the ability.
So why didn't Africans have that? Why didn't Africans have it?
You didn't have it because you wasn't subjected to it. Because you had.
Okay, see, when the disease started coming to Africa, it was their contact with the Europeans.
Right.
See, I said that to go ahead and say this. Every time they had those plague outbreaks, they start coming into Africa, and then it also
mm-hmm.
changed a whole lot of the DNA and a whole lot of stuff because the contact you had with the animals and so forth, it just caused a big problem. I can't quite read it.
Yeah, it's cool.
Y'all were having sex with animals.
It's cool.
Your people
were
having sex with animals in caves and in what's known as, I guess, the Czech Republic. They found, I guess, what would be considered one of the most, or the first condom or something like that, made out of animal skin because they were having sex with animals, okay? Let's
for the most
clear,
part,
there was a lot of things going on.
For the most part, the only thing that white people have taught the world is how to lie, cheat, steal, and kill.
That's right.
And
everything
y'all get your hands on now, destroy. Don't forget this one. We've also taught you boys and girls and the entire planet humanity how to get to the moon, how to explore other planets, how to survive.
You don't get it, do you?
I can't believe it.
No, I don't.
But wait, I have a question for you. If you were supposed to look at everybody as humans, I noticed that, one, you called me girl, and then you were just saying top boys and girls. Excuse me. I seriously doubt if I were a white woman, you would have called me a girl. I seriously doubt if you were talking to white man and woman right now, you would call them boys and girls.
All right, okay, all right. I'll call you, all right, let's see, let's say that I'm lowering myself to the intellectual language of your species. Let's say I'm calling you a girl because that's what every other black person calls you. Let's say that I am trying to connect with you by calling you a girl.
No, you're not connecting with me calling me a girl. No, you're not.
No, because you know what I mean. I would have called you a lady, but you told me to call you a man. So that's
why
I'm calling you a man.
What are you talking about?
I
he doesn't know.
I called you a girl. I said, you started talking.
You said girl. You can refer to me as ma'am, as miss, as a lady. There's many way other ways that you can refer to me as an adult female.
When I first started speaking to you, you told me not to call her a girl.
You should be calling her queen.
Exactly. He wouldn't. I...
When I first started speaking to you, you told me not to call you a girl. So I took it upon myself to call you a man. I do apologize.
No, Bezler, come on. Okay, you know the difference between a girl and a woman. Let's be clear. It's not a girl and a man.
I've been lowering my speech.
You're lowering your intellect and your vocabulary to speak to me, correct?
Yeah. You know, like Joel that, Joel this.
Well, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that because I know you're so intelligent. I don't want you to have to compromise it.
How do you spell yeah?
How do you spell yeah?
Right.
Y-E-A-H.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. What happened to yes?
Well, you said yeah, not yes.
Yeah, and I mean, somewhat of your intellect, I would think would use the term yes.
Oh, man,
no
question. You asked me how to spell yeah. I'm
right,
telling,
right.
That's
right.
How it's
somewhat
spelled.
Of your intellect, why don't
yeah.
you
use it?
Can I ask you why did... I want to suggest to you to watch something called Hidden Colors 1 and 2.
Oh,
and
God.
Number 3 is going to be out.
Hidden Colors.
Hidden Colors. H-I-D-D-E-N.
Yeah, hidden.
C-O-L-O-R-S. And it's
yeah.
Hidden Colors 1 and Hidden Colors 2. Okay?
Yeah. It's not called
the
hidden.
Third one comes out.
Hidden.
Hidden Colors.
Yes. There you go. So you can do
yes.
it.
Yes. Yes, there I go. Hidden Colors, okay?
Yeah, you can do it. You
and
can speak properly.
I can do it. That's right.
Yeah,
so there's a number 1 and a number 2, and I think it would be a great idea for you to watch those and to really expand your mind, and you might really be distraught, but it'll be good for you to get some truth.
Yeah, well, I've watched the entire series of The Color Purple. I don't know if that means anything to you.
No, sweetheart. No.
I've also watched Django. It's a great film, Django.
We're talking about real factual. This is real. This is a documentary. This is real historical facts. Okay, this is not a movie. It's not scripted. Okay? Don't try to be funny with me.
I will look it up.
Listen,
yes,
please do.
And you, Chef Rob, Chef Rob's still about, is he?
Yeah, I'm still here, man. I'm listening to you, man. You're hilarious, man.
Yeah, no, I can be. Can I? Hey, Chef Rob, I've seen you on other channels. Blog talk radio channels. I've seen you trolling. They hate it. You know that song.
I've seen you, Chef.
Mr. Cooper.
My music's so loud. I'm swinging.
Hey, what?
Yeah.
What? Wow. Okay. But I thought you were so intellectual. Wait, wait, wait. I thought you were so intellectual. How could you ever know a song like that and know the lyrics and what they mean.
Mr.
How
Cooper,
did you do that?
Because I'm intelligent.
Did I hear you say that you've seen Chef Rob on radio?
I've seen Chef Rob. Yeah, Chef Rob's a troll. Yeah.
You've seen Chef Rob on radio?
I've seen him on Debbie Daly. I've seen him on CN UFOs. I've seen him on Empire Radio. I've seen him about. Yeah, I know the man. Yeah.
He's not a troll.
Did say that you seen radio.
My music about. Yeah, I've seen him about. Yeah, I know the man.
How can you see someone on the radio?
Let his intellect figure out what it is that I'm saying. don't help him.
I'm sorry for helping him.
You don't have to help him. He has a superior intellect. So
he should
be able to
figure
out that you can't see someone on radio. I mean,
come on. I never said that. You said that.
You never said what?
That I have a superior intellect.
Yes, you did.
I did not say that.
Yes, you did. When we were talking about vocabulary, I said because you're so intellectual, right, that you have. Because you said, I'm trying to lower my, you were trying to lower your vocabulary to be able to speak to me.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? That you have a superior intellect, right?
No, it doesn't. No, I never said that word.
Oh, okay. Okay, you just implied it.
And
you didn't say it, but
you
implied it.
The only reason why me and you connected is because I started singing.
The only reason why you and I connected because I started singing.
No, a black man caresses you?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
Whoa, write that down in your book. Write that down in your diary tonight.
I haven't got a book. Here, look, can I close this
off? Oh,
your
journal.
Can I close this off by saying, right, I am not a racist, right? I know you might think, oh, yeah, fuck me, yeah, blah, 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 ha, ha, ha.
One more thing for you, Mr. Cooper. I don't think you would be a fair determinant as to whether or not you're racist or not. What you should do is you should walk up to a black person or even an Asian person, and ask them if you're racist. Because most of the time, an individual is the poorest judge of actually who and what he is.
All right, then, Chef. Right, so if I was in your country and said, hello, Chef, hello, black man, am I a racist?
On this panel, if you are a racist, all of them would suggest that you are.
Well, no, I'm not. I can tell you that in my country where I live, I see every sort of race every single day. I'm very, very, I wouldn't use the word tolerant, but I'm a very passive person. Because you feel,
from your conversation, it seems to me, I would suggest that you feel superior to all of them.
You said it again. When have I ever said this word superior?
Well, let me ask you this. To what race would you defer?
To what race would I defer? Well, I would not defer to any race because I see every race as the human race. I would not defer to any race.
No, you don't. You proved that tonight, that you don't see every race as the human race.
You would have never made such comments about IQ. I'm telling you, this is not my view. I'm telling you what I saw on the BBC.
You can honestly say that you see every race as a member of the human race, that you have placed those races at different levels, different degrees.
See, let's define this word, right, the human race. Let's take it now one step further. Every living thing on this planet, yeah? I have a cat, right? My cat is an earthling. I see you. I don't see you, but I can talk to you. To me, you are an earthling, yeah? Outside my window, there's a tree, yeah? That tree is an earthling. Every single living thing on this planet is an earthling, you know? That's how I see it. But I will not deny the documentary that I saw on the telly said that's what it said, and that's what I'm telling you. The documentary said that out of all the people of the earth, the black people,
if you have this,
have
equal view of all of the races on the planet, of all living things on this planet, if you had this equal view, then why is it that you would come to this show and try to establish a difference based on intellect, based on brain capacity?
I'll tell you
what.
Because
basically, you started this conversation trying to state that the brain of white people were larger and at least more efficient in their operation than the brains of Asians and black people.
The reason why I came to this show.
Reason why? So my point is valid.
Let me finish, Matt. The reason
I just answer my question only requires a yes or no answer. My point about you establishing a difference, a level of earthlingship, if you will. You're trying to say that the level of earthlingship for white people is higher than that, than the level of earthlingship for Asians and blacks.
No.
Why the conversation about intellect, then? What would even bring that subject up if you had such an equal view of the people who inhabit, of the entities that inhabit this planet, not just the people?
I was telling you what I saw on the telly, on the BBC, a documentary which was a worldwide IQ study, and this study said that the whites are 102 IQ.
And you were telling me that, Mr. Cooper, to what end? Why were you telling me that? What
I
point
told you that because I saw the word Chef Rob.
And why would you pass that information on to me?
The reason
why
I would pass that information on to you, my brother, is because I've been on Blog Talk Radio for about 7 years, and I've seen
your ass
talking about other people's stations. Yeah, I've seen your about, bruv. And I thought, it's about time fucking Dirk Diggler got his cock out, got his bollocks out, and started to say, sup doing, brother.
Did you call me your brother?
I did, yeah.
Would you have a problem with me marrying your daughter?
No.
You wouldn't? Give me a phone number.
Nah, my daughter's of age. She's 15.
Yeah, this dude funny, man.
Yeah, this dude's funny, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, Mr.
Well, it was an interesting conversation. It truly was, Mr. Cooper. Like I said.
Let me end this right before I go, because I'm busting for a piss, right? Before I leave, let me tell you, please do not interrupt me. From what I've seen, right, on the TV, I don't know if you agree with what you see on the TV or the media, but from what I saw was a national, worldwide study of every single race, Mongolians, Chinese, you name them, Africans, Redmans, Indians, it was all there, everything was there.
Okay.
And what it come down to, bottom line, when it come out to the results, Africans are 82, which is...
Okay, hold on. We didn't hear that. We heard that already. Look, let me tell you how I feel about that. You gonna tell me about this study that put down black folks, done by all kinds of white folks at all levels, and I'm supposed to take that as fact? It's sort of like you.
Wait.
It's sort of like he's not. He say he knows a whole lot of stuff, but he's not looking at he controls the media, controls the message. So. Go ahead, AC, ask
him
a question.
Mr. Cooper, let me ask you a much simpler question. What is the national worldwide study?
The national worldwide study? Well, that's what I'm trying to tell you, man.
Well,
yeah.
No,
I get
what is a national
in the UK,
worldwide.
In the UK, we are average of 100 to 103.
I beg your pardon?
In the UK, the IQ average is 102 to 103.
Okay, so how can there be a national worldwide study? I don't think you're paying attention to what he's asking.
Not to brag, and I'm definitely not lying, but I had an IQ of 132 when I was in sixth grade. So that 102, 103 crap. And oh, by the way, I don't believe in IQ because, as the sister said, most of the time, that not only are they racially biased, they're gender biased. They have a lot of biases in there, you know. So I don't believe in IQ. But even with your IQ test, I scored higher than what you consider an average.
Very well done.
So,
very well done. You must be one of the many.
Well, I put as much emphasis in that IQ score as I put in anything that you said tonight.
Well, I'll leave you with that.
Thank you, sir.
Stop burning witches.
Stop burning witches. This from a descendant of the druid. You're gonna tell me to stop burning witches?
Yeah. The key word there was descendant. You're talking about two, maybe 400, 500, 600 years ago. You're still banging them out now. You know, 21st
century. What did you just say?
I just said the key word was descendant from what you just said about burning witches.
And you're talking about 300, 400, 500 years ago?
The druids predate the Roman Empire. In our country are people that have slipped through the net. Asians, Africans, you know.
People
living in medieval ages, you know. It's time to grow up, isn't it? It's time to get your cock out. Well, no, it's not time to get your cock out. It's time to look up. It's time to look up and realize that the moon orbits the earth and the earth orbits the sun and there's two planets in between us. You know, you need to be very vigilant. You know, it's time to be clever. It's not time to sit in a moat about God and make yourself mentally ill when you believe in Jesus Christ, because religion makes people mentally ill. I do believe that.
Religion makes people mentally ill. I know. We've experienced that here because a lot of white people with their superior intellects actually believe that Jesus Christ was a white man.
Yeah, well, that's just shit, isn't it? That's just them being mentally ill, you know, because Jesus was an Asian, you know. He was obviously, like, you know, he was born out in the Middle East, so he's obviously an Asian, you know, so there's no point in, I totally agree with you, yeah.
He was obviously Asian. I don't know too many Asians with skin of bronze and hair like wool.
How do you know what he looked like, eh? He was born in Jerusalem. That's a Middle Eastern country. He was Iraqi. He was fucking Afghanistani. You know, he wasn't black. He was fucking Afghanistani. He wasn't white. He wasn't black.
I don't know many Iraqis or Afghanistanis with hair of wool. They may have the bronze skin, but, you know, their hair's kind of straight, probably like yours.
Yeah, it's all propaganda, isn't it? It's all propaganda.
Afghanistani. Now, I want you to spell that one.
Yeah, well, Jesus, what? His name was
I think the term is Afghan.
Iwashua, something like that. I don't know how the Jews have got it right, his name. But,
I'm sure the term is Afghan.
Afghan. I've heard him call him Afghan.
It's more than just a covering.
Yeah. All right, well, anyway, brothers and sisters and everyone over your country, I'm gonna leave you to it, right? It's fucking 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Hey,
Mr. Cooper, please respect the sister on the phone.
Yeah, I'm
going to
go too.
From the pro. Thank you.
Just one time for you boys, one more time, right? Just so you boys know that I'm a brother, I'm going to sing
you
it again.
You boys, please stop. Okay, never mind.
No, I've allowed him to do that. I mean, you know, I stated that I'm not going to get upset with him calling me a boy, but I have my own reasons for that. So go ahead.
Okay.
Tell the boy something.
Nah. We're going to go ahead and call it quits. That dude, we're going to make up for a great video. You going to work with me, sister?
You said what now?
That guy is going to make for a good video.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Bunch of them.
Yeah.
Man.
Boy. Y'all
get ready for that. Look, it's been good. I'm glad you came in, sister. Meet AC.
Sister, very glad.
Hey.
Very glad to hear from you.
Oh, thank you. I was like, man, I don't know anything about veterans, anything. But when I was listening to it, you guys were talking about something else. So I was like, okay.
And it took a few different turns, but it kind of tied into it. But then I just let him go because there's a lot of information. So.
Yeah.
But then this guy called in, and it's like, wow.
Chef, you have the information on Sister Ngani?
Somewhere.
Yeah, I'd like to. She mentioned the book behind the, was it the Green Mask?
Hmm.
She mentioned the book Behind the Green Mask. Was it?
It also had a bunch of videos. I was trying to look at a couple.
Right. Okay. Oh, she said she sent you a link.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, you know what you can do with that link, brother. Hit me upside the head with it, please.
All right. Hey, sister, it's time to go ahead and listen to your buddies over there.
Oh, gosh. That's your people.
They crack me up. AC, I'm going to send you a link to this other show. All right, everybody. I'll see you on the next.
Let me in on the joke. What buddies is the sister going to listen to, Chef?
You hear.
Okay.
Okay, bye, everybody.
Thank you, sister. Thank you much.
Why should the black man in America concern himself, since we've been away from the African continent for 400 years? Why should we concern ourselves? What impact does what happened to them have upon us? Number one, first you have to realize that up until 1959, Africa was dominated by the colonial powers, and by the colonial powers of Europe having complete control over Africa, they projected the image of Africa negatively. They projected Africa always in a negative light. Jungles, savages, cannibals, nothing civilized. And naturally, it was so negative until it was negative to you and me. And you and I began to hate it. We didn't want anybody to tell us anything about Africa, and much less call us an African. And in hating Africa and hating the African, we ended up even hating ourselves without even realizing it. Because you can't hate the roots of a tree and not hate the tree. You can't hate your origin and not end up hating yourself. You can't hate Africa and not hate yourself. And you show me one of these people over here who have been thoroughly brainwashed, who has a negative attitude toward Africa, and I'll show you one that has a negative attitude toward himself. You can't have a negative attitude toward yourself, a positive attitude toward yourself, and a negative attitude toward Africa at the same time. To the same degree that your attitude, that your understanding of, an attitude toward Africa becomes positive, you'll find that your understanding of and your attitude toward yourself will also become positive. And this is what the white man knows. So they very skillfully made you and me hate our African identity, our African characteristics. And you know yourself that we have been a people who hated our African characteristics. We hated our hair. We hated the shape of our nose. We wanted one of those long dog-like noses, you know. Yeah. We hated the color of our skin. Hated the blood of Africa that was in our veins. And in hating our features and our skin and our blood, why we had to end up hating ourselves. And we hated ourselves. Our color became to us a chain. We felt that it was holding us back. Our color came to us, became to us like a prison, which we felt was keeping us confined, not letting us go this way or that way. And we felt that all of these restrictions were based solely upon our color, and the psychological reaction to that would have to be that as long as we felt imprisoned or chained or trapped by black skin, black features, and black blood, that skin and those features and that blood that was holding us back automatically had to become hateful to us. And it became hateful to us. It made us feel inferior. It made us feel inadequate. It made us feel helpless. And when we fell victim to this feeling of inadequacy or inferiority or helplessness, we turned to somebody else to show us the way. We didn't have confidence in another black man to show us the way or black people to show us the way. In those days, we didn't. We didn't think a black man could do anything but play some horn, you know, some sound, and make you happy with some songs. And in that way, but when an inferior thing, where our food, clothing, and shelter was concerned, and our education was concerned, we turned to the man. We never thought in terms of bringing these things into existence for ourselves. We never thought in terms of doing things for ourselves, because we felt helpless. And what made us feel helpless was our hatred for ourselves. One of the things that made the black Muslim movement grow was its emphasis upon things African. This was the secret to the growth of the black Muslim movement. African blood, African origin, African culture, African ties. And you'd be surprised. We discovered that deep within the subconscious of the black man in this country, he's still more African than he is American. He thinks that he's more American than African because the man is jiving him and the man is brainwashing him every day, telling him, you're an American, you're an American. Man, how could you think you're an American and you have never had any kind of American treat over here? You have never, never. 10 men can be sitting at a table eating, you know, dining. And I can come and sit down where they're dining. They're dining. I got a plate in front of me, but nothing is on it. Because all of us are sitting at the same table, are all of us diners? I'm not a diner until you let me dine. Then I become a diner. Just being at the table with others who are dining doesn't make me a diner. And this is what you got to get in your head here in this country. Just because you're in this country doesn't make you an American. And no, you got to go farther than that before you can become an American. You've got to enjoy the fruits of Americanism. And you haven't enjoyed those fruits. You've enjoyed the thorns. You've enjoyed the thistle. But you have not enjoyed the fruits. No, sir. So I point these things out, brothers and sisters, so that you and I will know the importance in 1965 of being in complete unity with each other, harmony with each other, and not letting the man maneuver us into fighting one another. I say that again, that I'm not a racist. I don't believe in any form of segregation or anything like that. I'm for the brotherhood of everybody, but I don't believe in forcing brotherhood upon people who don't want it. As long as we practice brotherhood,